Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Very sorry, I had to delay again and again tonight. I found myself having to drive somewhere, and on the way back having a lot of trouble. There's a polar storm, and even the big roads where I had to wait for them to get de-snowed, because the snow was so high it was impossible to continue advancing. So I was able to only gab. So I gabbed from my cell phone, and thankfully there were some people passing up the messages to you guys. Sorry for being late. It is rare that I'm late like this, but I couldn't have predicted. I just didn't expect that the snowstorm would be that great and that it would be to the point where the cars can't advance. So I had to wait for the snow plowers to pass, and now I'm good. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Tonight is a chill Ask Me Anything, because of course, being on the road, all I could do is follow the news on my cell phone. What we've seen today is a continuation of the warmongering with relation to Putin, Ukraine, Russia, lots of satellite images coming out indicating that there is a change of position of the Russian troops, that they are ready to attack. But we've heard that one for many weeks now. It's like they're always getting in a more attack position. Still, we haven't seen any attack. Now, the Olympics are over today, so we'll remember that it had been said that the Chinese, I believe it was the Chinese, the leader of China, Xi Jinping, who had asked Vladimir Putin not to start the war before the Olympics were over. So does this mean that the war starts tomorrow at 9 a.m.? I don't know, but that would be in line with this request. But still, this request was only covered really in the mainstream media, which is totally aligned with causing that war to happen. So simultaneously to the warmongering, we also have Macron, who's apparently trying to broker a peace deal. Macron probably comes at it from a French perspective. He's probably already pissed a little bit that he's getting excluded as part of the American alliance across the world. People will remember there was a submarine deal that America had canceled with France, and they had instead went with Australia. So Macron probably wants to display power, wants to display an alternative. And here's one place where he has a chance to kind of offer another path. He might be able to pose as the man who ended the conflict with a peaceful resolution. And so Macron has been both talking to Joe Biden on the phone and to Vladimir Putin, and he got them both to commit to a summit, to some kind of meeting. However, Joe Biden specified that he would only accept to meet Vladimir Putin if there was no invasion of Ukraine. And so what does that mean? Is Vladimir Putin just making it look like he's interested in that meeting only to delay the response of his enemies? Or is he perhaps not even interested in dominating Ukraine? After all, you know, I don't know what Russia would do with Ukraine. It would be a bunch of people to be managed, and given the access of Russia already to the Black Sea, one wonders what else could Ukraine bring. It might give them a buffer, and certainly they are interested in having a buffer separating them from NATO. But in the end, that would be it. That would be what Ukraine is, a buffer. And Ukraine can very well play that role of a buffer if Ukraine is not integrated into NATO, if it's a true sovereign nation. Now, the big problem, I was thinking about this today from the perspective of Vladimir Putin. a sovereign Ukraine is basically not sovereign enough. We've seen the capacity of America to influence what happens across the world, to place puppets in governments. And we've seen it even in Canada, not by the USA, but by the WEF and the Klaus Schwab people. Klaus Schwab bragging in an interview or in a speech that he had penetrated the Canadian government and half of the cabinet was essentially their people. If they're able to do this to Canada, they're certainly able to do this to other countries, including Ukraine. So from the perspective of if Ukraine could be a truly sovereign nation, that would be a good buffer against NATO. But seeing the development, seeing the Hunter Biden story in Ukraine, seeing the refusal to commit not to integrate Ukraine to NATO, and seeing the kind of president that they have, who is a puppet of the Western order, if you will, these things combined leads me to believe that from the perspective of Vladimir Putin, Ukraine is already integrated in NATO, just practically, although it's not official. So that would be a reason to intervene fast and to do something quick. Join me on Entropy. Our Philosoraptor has already sent a super chat on Odyssey. He says, JF, where are you? Well, thank you for your support, but here I am. I was on the road. Sorry for being late. And I initially said I would start the show at 9:30, and then I thought maybe 9:45. Then I realized, oh my God, I won't be able at all. And here we are, 10:30, and I can start. Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to send me questions tonight. Will you be on Truth Social? Yes or no? That is our survey question of the night on Entropy. The link to Entropy is right below the video. Truth Social apparently will be starting live tomorrow. I'll be on there. I'll be trying it. I'll be cautiously optimistic. But I'm afraid that it won't be a place of free speech. I'm afraid that it will turn like Getter, where there is kind of a upper class of conservative right, center-right people who are being put forward, and the rest is basically inexistent, like this kind of MAGA type of stuff. And I don't know, it seems like this grows too specific. However, Trump has a bigger umbrella, and my hope would be that Truth Social could be a genuine platform of free speech. I hope that it converges toward this, but everyone knows how it works. If you're on the official app stores, it's not free speech because you're bound to the rules of the big tech of California. So there's no way around this. That being said, I'll give it a try and I'll hope. And yes, James says Truth Social is such a dumb name. It is absolutely a dumb name. I've been rotating that in my head. And is it dumb? It's dumb. But when you think about it, it's like think of a future. Think of a future where every time someone expresses something on their cell phone app, they say, I will truth it. And, you know, for a French guy like me, I'm not even able to say the word truth. It's in English. The TH is too hard for me to say. But it's kind of a wink to how ultimately Trump got kicked off Twitter. It's like, it's a return to the Jack Dorseys of this world. It's a return of Trump saying, you know what, you can either tweet unimportant things or you can truth the truth. And the only place where you can get the truth is on Truth Social. And when you think about it from that perspective, it's not that bad of a name. It's really everyone through their public contributions will be contributing to this forever reminder that Trump tried to express his truth on Twitter and got banned for it. And a lot of people got banned from Twitter for stating the truth. But my big fear is that you may very well get banned from Truth Social for stating the truth. But yeah, the whole and the way they combine truth and social, that is worrying. Like, it's very boomerish. You don't have to say that it's social for people to understand it. That's the whole idea of Twitter, you know. Twitter, it's not Twitter Social, it's Twitter. Everyone knows it's a social place. The idea of saying Truth Social, that looks like a cheap excuse for taking a domain name and being unable to buy the truth.com domain name and instead saying, okay, let's take Truth Social. You know, and this is one thing I've done with arguably.io. On the internet, you have to work your ID to get to a simple domain name. Now, arguably.com was costing $14,000 or something like that. And I was like, okay, there has to be a way around it. And I digged into domain names, special extensions of all kind for a long time, finding combinations, because I had other things in mind than arguably. I thought, you know, it could be something about arguments in general, it could be something about debate. I wanted to make an encyclopedia of debate IDs and arguments. And eventually I found the weakness. It's that some people have already bought arguably.com, arguably.net, but not arguably.io. And so I went for it. I was open to a lot of bizarre extension names to make a name that made sense. Arguably.io turned out to be what I chose. I didn't do it yesterday, so perhaps I can do a return on my modern day debate. By the way, we have, I don't know if I can talk about it, but modern day debate is working on a big combo debate in which I'll be involved. There will be big personalities involved. It will be 2 versus 2, and it will be on the whole maybe COVID stuff, measures, Justin Trudeau, that kind of stuff. The details have yet to be figured out for the 4th or 5th participant, but looking at the list that has been put together up to now, it will be a big debate. It will be awesome. It will be some big personalities, some of them that I've been already speaking with, some of them will be new. No, it will not be Stefan Molyneux again. It will be something new. There will also be one of my opponents who I've already stumped in a debate. It's going to be awesome. Anyways, 2 days ago, I went on Modern Day Debate to discuss with Dialogue Always. It was a bizarre debate. I'm very proud of my performance. But it wasn't a debate like usual, where a clean ID is being debated. Dialogue Always has been blurring the whole subject of the debate from the start. I mean, even in emails before the debate happened, because at first I was approached by James on the subject, are the police fair to the black community? And so I had brought all my studies about this, and I have a good bunch of studies that I use in these arguments that show that every time you look for the so-called bias, if you consider the fact that there is higher crime rates in certain groups, there's no evidence of bias. It's just that the police does its job, which is to pursue criminals. And so if you're in a locality or in a population that has more crime, you have more police intervention. And if they resist more, you have more police escalation. So I was all figured out, and I basically didn't have to study much for the debate. I had all my references ready. But I was like, this guy must send me his references, because if he comes with studies that claim something, I want to be equipped to already talk about it in advance. And he sent me, before the debate, just two ridiculous studies that had nothing to do with police work. One was about the migration of blacks from the south to the north and how it changed their life, and it improved them on certain outcomes, but it's not perfect either, and it wasn't wonderful either. And then another one on mental health in jail and how mental health predicts the success of non-recidivism of when they get out of jail and whether they commit crimes again. It had nothing to do with race, the second one, neither with policing. So I was like, James, you want to check with this guy? Is the subject still, are the police fair to the black community? Because these studies are completely uninformative on this subject. And he checked, and dialogue always was starting to blurring the subject. He was like, I wanted more to talk about how they're being treated, and not necessarily whether it's fair, but just how they're being treated in general. And I was like, okay, you know what, let it go. Let's do whatever he wants. And so he opened up on an intro that wasn't related at all to police fairness. So I didn't know how to handle this. I thought, okay, let's shift from the debate format into a kind of productive discussion type of crap. And so I started engaging with him on everything he was saying. And I made a quick case because when the title of a debate is, are the police fair to the black community? I still want to win that debate. You know, I still want to make my case, even if Iz was absent. So I just laid it out very quickly. I said, look, studies show that there are more crimes in the black community, and that's why there's more police intervention. And even when there's intervention, there's more resistance, and so that's why there's more escalation, period. So that kind of was my moment for, okay, I won the debate. Now let's talk about, let's do dialogue always. let's do this dialogue thing. And I engaged on various points that I've been that I've been defending for many years now, on the problem of eugenics, the fact that there may be a negative loop in certain communities where even if you were to try to evolve honest and non-criminal behavior, it fails because the community rewards violence and rewards aggression so much that there's basically no way out. It's like, okay, it rewards aggression, and so the meritocracy falls, property falls, the value of things fall because having something means nothing, because someone is going to take it from you eventually or burn it down. And so this creates a negative loop where even if you were to have a kind of stemming of a meritocracy emerging in this community, it would get beaten down quickly, and you would be back into a kind of feudal mode of everyone fucks each other to the maximum extent, and therefore the biggest warrior and the one that's most violent wins always. That's a big problem, and that's why socialism is a bad place to start if you want to improve a community. It's because socialism rewards all of the bad behavior in that negative loop. It makes this lifestyle even more possible, and it even further crushes the meritocracy. And I didn't hear anything from him that indicates he was understanding that. He was kind of speaking beside me about other things. At times he was shocked by my statements, but didn't have anything to counter. He was wondering what leads to this. And I was like, some of the problems, some of what led to the current situation may include No Fault Divorce, The Destruction of the Family, which has hit on both the white and black community, but somehow has had an exponent, a kind of worse effect in the black community. So that's the case I've made. As far as on his side, it was very emotional reactions. He was like, oh, well, I disagree with you. Like when I said, you know, female voting causes certain of these things. It's not random that female voting appeared and black voting appeared, and that we, since then, we have been walking into socialism full speed. Definitely. And still, as of today, if you make a map of America of who would win the presidential if only white men voted, you realize that would be in a much more right-wing world if white men controlled the country. And so as to the cause of the development of leftism, definitely female vote and black vote have totally changed the democratic structure of America. And he's like, I disagree. What's your other hypothesis? Have you seen the comparison of the electoral map? If you just remove blacks and women, and you can play with all sorts of demographics, but it's pretty stunning. It's pretty clear that would be constant Republican administration since the beginnings of time if only men voted. So and on top of it, the Republican Party would have converged much less to the left, because then there would be less of an attraction toward the left, toward the center left, because you could win an election by being just good right wing. So his reaction to this was, I disagree. Okay, well, you disagree. It's like, I just stated the reality. You know, here's quantum physics, here's how it works, here's the Maxwell equation for electromagnetism. I disagree. Pineapple Platypotamus says, Jeff, you could have just said this isn't a racial problem, it's about all women. Yeah, but that's borderline in terms of a phrasing. I don't know if I could have if I could have been that obvious. You have to take into account that I don't want to destroy the modern day debate channel, you know. And we were already at the limit, I think. Just that says, but JF, only if Dominion voting machine were banned would it be perma right-wing governments. That's another question, whether the machines are reliable, but certainly female vote is reliably leftist. Mama JF says, why does modern day debate doesn't go on entropy? It's a good question. He's part of the first generation YouTubers, you know. They normally, people don't go naturally toward entropy. People are pushed toward entropy because they have the impression that they're going to get demonetized. James from Modern Day Debate still lives in the naive cocoon of thinking that he won't get banned from YouTube. which is admirable. I think it's kind of exceptional how he's been touching a lot of controversial guests and controversial ideas, and yet he's still monetized, so that's good of him. But I think eventually YouTube will turn against him, because eventually people like me have left YouTube voluntarily. Now YouTube is going to look for the next bone to chew, and it's going to fall on this kind of generation of this kind of, we're open as a channel, we want to explore all ideas. Susan doesn't want you to do this. Trump's social media platform reportedly going live on Monday. Donald Trump's new social media platform, Truth Social, is scheduled to launch on President's Day next Monday, according to reports. The app, which has been available to beta testers for the last week, will be going live in the Apple Store for everyone. Can we talk about this a little bit? Because I've not seen someone express yet just how fucking stupid it is for a social media platform for free speech and the right wing and Republicans to be premiering on Apple Store. Trump, it shows me that there's something that this team fundamentally doesn't understand. Do you know what kind of people have the Apple Store? Do you know what kind of people have an iPhone? Do you know what kind of people are buying the new version of Mac OS every 6 months? Mostly gay leftists in California, okay? It's the only reason why you would want a laptop to be as slim and as sexy. It's because you're gay and you like the graphics of it, you like elegance, and you have this feminine outlook on even fucking computers. And why would you open this social media platform and premiere it on fucking, on this almost gay exclusive type of computer? And this is not to say that I hate gays. Gays can do whatever they want. They can have their entire world if they want, where they have their own computers. But why would you premiere with them? Why would you make it exclusive access to them and not go to the main platform for heterosexuals, which is fucking Windows with, I don't know, Google Chrome or whatever browser? Why do you... So we don't know yet whether tomorrow they will open the website for people to log in through social, through something else than macOS. But for now, all we know is that it will be opened on the App Store. FixDSM says, JF, I have an iPhone, lol, and macOS is free. This is bullshit. macOS is... New Nation says, macOS releases are always free, by the way. They weren't free when it was macOS Leopard 10.5. And all of these macOS dependent people had to pay $300, $600 for the fucking update. You guys are just cattle in the waiting. You're in the slaughterhouse. Like, you're on the queue to the big zapper of the cows, and you're like, Jeff, this is not a slaughterhouse. There's food there. It's free, I'm telling you. New Nation says, Jeff, macOS has been free for nearly 10 years now. Bullshit. It's exactly like the cow in the farm. It's like free hamburger, as Pineapple Platypus says. There's free hamburger. Yes, there's free hamburger. You're the hamburger. And yes, it's going to be free in the sense that you won't pay to become the hamburger. New Nation says, does the revolutionary phenotype contain a bibliography of sources you reference when writing the book? Yes, it's a relatively short reference. But yeah, it's right here, page 138 and 137. I have a total of only 18 references, because I wanted to boil it down to the actual ideas that underlied the necessary thinking in the revolutionary phenotype. I didn't want this to be a catalog of everything we know. And most of these references, anyway, they contain hundreds of references. So when I cite the selfish gene, it's like, go check out the selfish gene, and there's hundreds of references in there. New Intel adds to U.S. fears that Russia is readying for military action. the new intel would be an order sent from Putin that says invade Ukraine. But who knows, you know, at this point, he probably any channel of communication between the Kremlin and their army, they probably know whether it's being listened to. They probably know whether there's leaks, and they probably have internal codes to say, oh, that's a joke. That's true. That's a joke. So who knows what that means? New intel, new schmintel. White House official says Blinken and Lavrov will discuss the possible Biden-Putin summit. A White House official says Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Russian Foreign Ministry Sergei Lavrov will discuss a possible summit between President Joe Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin when they meet later this week. So, of course, I think that this potential meeting has been set so that, you know, Joe Biden has put the condition. I will meet with Putin, but there's no question I will do so if he invades Ukraine. So I guess that what it gives Joe Biden is a point of pressure, which is this meeting will never happen if if there's an invasion of Ukraine. So that puts us for the next week. I don't estimate that there's massive risks that there, or Vladimir Putin is fooling everyone, and he's like, oh yeah, I want to discuss, and he's really preparing his tanks. But Putin has spoken with Macron for two times today. The second time here announced an hour and 30 minutes ago. This is the second time Macron has spoken to Putin in fewer than 24 hours, according to the French presidency. Macron's second call with Putin follows in his conversation with Biden earlier on Sunday. The talk comes as Macron proposed a summit between US President Joe Biden and Putin. So we have no idea what the call was about, but I guess Macron is making the little dog bringing the messages between Putin and Biden. Dead Ribbit says Apple is like the company that builds a car and charges $500 for a proprietary wrench you need to change the spark plugs. Oh yeah, this is a disgusting thing that's happening in the domain of car manufacturers. It's ridiculous. you know, they are selling these books apparently where the book tells the mechanic how to repair a given thing, and it seems to be one of the huge cost of mechanics. It's like they have to pay $10,000 for the whole book that says how do you remove this piece from this car. Absolutely scandalous. Disclose.tv says U.S. Embassy warns of possible terrorist attacks in Russia, cites media sources, though a quick search reveals none. So you have the media citing the intelligence, and then you have the intelligence. You have, well, the U.S. Embassy and consulate saying, according to media sources. So you can see the whole triangle of warmongering here. The media says we have an anonymous source in the intelligence community. And then the intelligence community says there are mediatic reports that... And then you have other government agencies that say, oh, well, there seems to be big evidence that no one knows anything. It's crazy. I was thinking today, you know, on the road when I was coming back, how disgusting leftists are. When I see everything that's happening with the repression of the trucker convoy in Ottawa, they're warmongering. They don't even stand for their own IDs. Those are leftists. Those are the parties that get elected on the perception that the police is too oppressive. But when they control the police, they love using it for oppression. And then they are also getting elected on the basis that war is bad, you know? And when they control the state power, they use it in full and they start wars. And CNN is fully contributing to this. And I don't know what is going on in the head of a normie leftist, but it's not beautiful from the outside. Argerod says, leftists only stand for whatever choices offer them more money and more power. Yeah, but it's do they know this? Do they know? Is it conscious, or do they hold this as some kind of internal contradiction that they swept under the rug? It's disgusting. I wouldn't be able to live like this, knowingly self-contradicting, knowingly going against my own principles. They have no honor of any kind. It's, I was seeing, you know, the Emergencies Act of Justin Trudeau. Justin Trudeau is not in a majority government. So all it would take is that the opponents of Justin Trudeau vote a law that says, no, your emergency act is crap. It doesn't exist. But we can't even get there. You know why? Because the freaking far-left NDP in Canada is happy about oppressing the truckers. So they vote with the Liberals. This is the NDP is the equivalent of almost Black Lives Matter having their own party. Like, if you had the equivalent in America, it would probably be that. It would be a third party called Black Lives Matter. And they're all about police are oppressors. And here they are voting with absolutely irregular police powers. Just that says, big vote tomorrow in Ottawa on Monday. Yeah, it's a big vote, but the NDP has already said they will vote to maintain the police powers of Justin Trudeau. Unbelievable. I don't know how they live with themselves. FDA considers approving a second COVID booster shot, 4 doses total and counting. Unbelievable. It's like, when it didn't work 3 times, don't do it the 4th time. It probably won't work. New Nation says, when our friend Richard called Trudeau based after what he chose to do to the Canadian truckers, it really shook my faith in his ideology, JF. And Nicholas Petris says, did he really? Absolutely disgusting. Yeah, I don't know because I'm not on Twitter anymore, so I don't follow every day what he says. But I want to invite him. I'd like to talk to him. But yeah, I mean, this is typical Richard Spencer. He always with the oppositional position, practically not a right winger, not for liberty. Enjoys power, arbitrary power of the state, even when it's against him, apparently. It's like, he sees power and he's like, this is power that I could get one day. It's like, no, you're not gonna get shit, Richard. You've been socially ostracized forever. Do you realize? It's like, welcome to the sewers with me, Richard. You won't ever get your finger on a piece of power of any kind. Therefore, any sort of power that you cheer for can only be used against you, because you. I don't know if Richard, he must be aware of this. Like, you are the incarnation of the hatred of leftism. You are hated more than hate. You are so hated that leftists will kind of walk over their hate of hate to hate you. You're never going to get any of the power of leftists. And so don't stop rooting for it. It will only be used against you, Richard. But no, I mean, I know I will never convince Richard of this. I know that he's on his path. I don't know what's motivating him. He's a man of mystery to me. That's why I like interviewing him also. WEF infiltration. This is quite spectacular. So we had Klaus Schwab admit that he's infiltrated the Canadian government.
Now, names like Mrs. Merkel, even Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. But what we are very proud of now, the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday...
And he goes on to explain that 50% of the Trudeau cabinet is penetrated by the WEF. Now, Joe Rogan learns about this and he's like, oh yeah, cool, oh yeah, let's smoke some pot. And amazingly, they talk about this in the, you know, it's supposed to be a democratic country, Canada, and so you ask questions. You can ask questions. And since he stated this, isn't it a good idea to ask the Canadian government, hey, who are the 50% WEF agents in Canada? We'd like to know which minister is it. And look at this, how they arrange the non-answer to this question.
Question and comment, questions and comments. The Honourable Member for Oshawa.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I listened to my colleague's speech. I had a constituent that wanted me to ask a question about outside interference to our democracy. Klaus Schwab is the head of the World Economic Forum, and he bragged how his subversive WEF, World Economic Forum, has, quoted, infiltrated governments around the world. He said that his organization had penetrated more than half of Canada's cabinet. And I was wondering, in the interest of transparency, could the member please name which cabinet ministers are on board with the WEF's agenda? My concern is the deputy.
Order. I know the member was in a really good question there, but the audio is really, really bad and the video is really, really bad as well.
I was perfectly hearing the question. It made total sense. Fadam says, can anyone hear what he's saying? The audio is horrible. No, I was totally hearing. There was no problem here. He's asking, since Klaus Schwab is saying that he penetrated the Canadian cabinet at more than 50%, can we know what's this 50%? Is it this guy, this guy, this guy? Half of them have to be WEF agents. It was absolutely clear. And look at this. This guy comes and says, oh, there are audio problems. Fadam says, I'm joking. Okay, well, okay, buddy. So he stops the question and we won't get an answer.
And I apologize. I don't know if the member, okay. Let's try again. The honorable member for Timmins James Bay.
Mr. Speaker. That member is promoting open disinformation. That's not debate. We have to call out
So now open disinformation, I mean, what you think is disinformation, is not debate. Well, it's precisely what debate is. Debate is the collision of two views, and we have to determine what is good information, what is bad information. So answer the freaking question. Don't say it's misinformation. It's not misinformation. It comes straight from the mouth of Klaus Schwab. It's been admitted. And so either Klaus Schwab is bragging about something that's not true, or it's true, and you have to answer.
We'll get into debate again. The Honourable Member, questions and comments, the Honourable Member for Lambton, Kent Middlesex.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'm just thank you to my honourable colleague for her speech. I'd like to ask her specifically, because you talked about how this piece...
No response. So we're moving on to a new subject. I hope that we get one answer at some point. Sprocket says, either we couldn't hear him or it was disinformation. Yeah, how would you know that it's disinformation if there were audio problems? It seems like you were able to hear what it was about. The whole fearsome female wires again. A Ukrainian reservist learns fighting skills she hopes never to use. Sexy blonde with a shotgun. Yeah. Now, last time we've heard this, as was pointed out by academic agent, woman in Herat, Afghanistan, take up arms against the Taliban. Attitude, female attitude, warrior attitude. That was a post on August 8th. And then on August 12th, the Taliban have captured Afghanistan's third largest city, Herat. No fight, no resistance, just blame and escape. Within 4 days, the female warriors had been defeated. We'll see how much time they can hold Ukraine against Russia. Coast Guard offloads $1 billion worth of cocaine, marijuana in South Florida. Look at this. They have pallets of cocaine. Cocaine, cocaine, cocaine. My God, that is a lot. I don't know what will happen with all this stuff, but it's a lot of drugs. Boobstar says, Justin, Fifth Circuit Court of Appeal finds United Airlines vaccine mandate wrongly coerced employees to get the shot over their religious beliefs, and employees may be entitled to a preliminary injunction. Court sends the case back down for further deliberations. Finally, I mean, we've been seeing this whole extortion scheme from the beginning of the COVID pandemic. It's the government trying to get you to accept a medical practice onto you by threatening you that they will have you fired. This is extortion. I can't believe that it took more than a year of the vaccine being rolled out before we get a court recognize it for what it is. And very interestingly, this is a very good paper in the Gateway Pundit. Very often the Gateway Pundit has low quality crap, but this has been written by a military member. And it's very interesting because he caught what the government is doing with the whole Comirnaty and the emergency use authorization versus the full authorization of the FDA. What he's explaining is that the DOD is saying you have to get vaccinated or we'll put you on leave, you'll get fired. And they're saying you have to get vaccinated with something like Pfizer. But the only available vaccine in America right now is the emergency use authorization vaccine, the mRNA anti-COVID vaccine. And so the military has no choice. They have to get this emergency use authorization approved vaccine. Because people will remember, Pfizer had their vaccine approved under full authorization by the FDA, but they had it legally called Comirnaty, and they have not produced Comirnaty for the US. So what they had the FDA do is they said, can you approve that we will continue using the emergency use authorization, the old version of the vaccine? Approve this new one, but we won't produce it as long as we have stocks of the old one. And apparently they have stocks of the old one forever. So they will never really get to sell a bottle labeled Comirnaty. Now, they have been bringing this in court saying, look, even if you can argue that the old vaccine and the new are the same medically, that's what the FDA says and the DOD says in court. It's still not legally the same, because one has a label that is emergency use authorization and the other has full authorization. And full authorization comes with obligations for the company. It comes with legal consequences, for example, if you suffer side effects. So what Pfizer is trying to do essentially is to get the benefits of the emergency use authorization without having the legal obligations of the new label. And at the same time, the DOD says you have to get vaccinated or you're losing your job. But you can't get Comirnaty because Comirnaty doesn't exist in the US yet. and it may never exist. There's no plan for Pfizer to release it under that label, although they had the FDA approval. So the soldier explains, and the judge had a very good word on this. He said to the DOD, I'm not questioning whether medically it's the same vaccine or not. Maybe it is. I'm saying legally it's not the same vaccine. That's important, because if you're going to force your military members to get a vaccine, and yet you force them and on the basis that it's fully approved, but you force them to get the legal version of the vaccine that was the one in use before the full approval, you are exposing them to legal risks. So even if it's the same bottle, even if it's the same biological agent, legally, you are creating a situation where you are asking your soldiers to run personal risks and do so without the company that produces the vaccine be liable if these risks turn out bad for them. So brilliant phrasing here by the judge, who says, I don't care if it's the same biological agent. You guys are playing with the words, you're playing with legal concepts, and therefore when you inject this old vaccine version, you inject a legally different vaccine. Beautiful. That gives me hope that these soldiers with their case in court might very well be successful at challenging all this kind of mandates that the government is trying to impose. Firefighters struggle to extinguish blaze on cargo ship carrying 4,000 luxury cars. Okay, I was starting to get worried for my refrigerator, because I've been buying a fridge many months ago, and because we live so far in Canada, it takes months to get the refrigerator. But since it's only luxury cars, Porsches, Audis, Volkswagens, it's probably not going to affect me. My fridge is probably still on the way. Thomas Howard says, the Comirnaty BioNTech approval EUA sidestep is about continuing to provide indemnity from financial risk of lawsuits from any who are harmed by the vaccines. Yeah, exactly. So it's like they got the approval, but they will never choose to give that new vaccine with the new label, because it comes with so much more risks for them. Firestarter says, is it cold enough where you live to freeze meat? Absolutely. We have plenty of meat. We have a back part of the house. We have an entry point that is not heated, and it takes the temperature of the outside. We have plenty of food there, and it's freezing. It's basically a freezer. Absolutely wonderful here. The cold freezes everything, human beings included, pushing them away from your home, and it's beautiful. When I discovered the goodness of the cold, and I would never go back to heat where overpopulation becomes a problem. If it's too hot outside, there's just too much energy, and it leads to a lot of human beings, because if it's hot outside, really, you can survive eating grass and branches, and you end up being filled with human beings around you. When you live in absolute cold, it's extremely hard to survive, and so that means less people. More struggle, as Pineapple Platypotamus says. Exactly. If you can use the environment for creating a struggle on everyone else, and you can afford the slightly higher cost, because of course I do have to pay a little more in terms of heating cost, but so be it, no problem. You know, my eating costs are so much lower than the cost of living in a freaking communist place, where I will have the state combat my rights and liberties on an everyday basis. Like, do you realize what's the cost of this? The cost of having family courts go after your children, the cost of having an entire economic system that hates you and wants to cancel you. It's like, bring it. I'm going to pay a couple hundreds more in terms of heating. Canadian gelato shop owner breaks down crying after threats for donation to truckers. This is the woman whose life has been destroyed. She had a little gelato shop in Ottawa. She gave $250 to the trucker convoy, got exposed in the hack.
Are clearly losing it. The prime minister, who needs a history lesson and a haircut, has declared war on Canadian citizens like they're an ISIS caliphate.
I don't like this these comparisons of Trudeau to Hitler. Like, oh, he needs a history lesson. He needs to learn about the Nazis. Because Acha Logos on Gab had a beautiful reply to all this stuff. He was talking specifically about Catard, who's a user on Gab who keeps, he's a center-right conservative who keeps saying Trudeau is a Nazi, Trudeau is a Nazi. The problem when you say this, and one moment. The problem when you say Trudeau is a Nazi is that you're miseducating the youth of today to believe that Nazi equals authoritarian. And while it may have been the case that the Nazis were kind of authoritarian, the fact is that the people who won World War II, as Acha Logos points out, are the exact opposite. They are totally on the side of Trudeau. People like Trudeau won World War II, okay? And it's a totally opposite positioning than the Nazis. It is totally the opposite. It is a kind of global communistic drive that, when you think about who won against the Nazis, it was the kind of alliance between America and the USSR. Germany got invaded by the two sides, essentially. And when you say Trudeau is a Nazi, what you're miseducating people on is Trudeau is the opposite of a Nazi. He's the one who would be so much more authoritarian to pursue the elimination of the Nazis. And he's the one who ultimately won World War II. That is a very good point by Acha Logos. Anyways, let's continue what this interview is about.
Emergency powers, freezing bank accounts, and threatening to take away protesters' dogs and children. Dana Perino's very upset. It's getting so bad up there, government forces are even targeting innocent gelato shops, like this one here in Ottawa, Canada. Turns out, the owner of Stella Luna...
Mama JF says Nazis were socialists. Yes, they were, because they were using the force of the state. But they were using the force of the state for a very different vision of society than the one defended by the USSR then and America today and Justin Trudeau today. So as Argerod said, different kinds of socialists. Yes, and from my perspective as a right-winger, I can totally say that communism is as bad as fascism in the sense that it gives too much authority to an authority that doesn't deserve it. But that's a different point. It's you have to understand the fundamental distinction between someone who wants to use the force of the state for good, for what they define as good, and someone who wants to use the force of the state, like the Nazis, for the kind of restoration of a natural order. That is two different goals in mind. Now, they both use the same method, which is increase the force of the state and increase the penetration into the corporate world and the control of the state over the corporate world.
Luna Cafe made a giant mistake. She privately supported the Freedom Truckers convoy with a $250 donation. Her donation then leaked and was made public. Her gelato shop was then doxxed and began receiving threats. Luna.
I don't like this presentation. What the fuck is this guy talking about? Leaked. there was a hack. There was an illegal gathering of her information, or essentially her private financial information. It's not a leak. There's a difference between a leak and a hack.
Lunatics threatening her with violence and vandalism, treating her like a Salem witch, all because she showed her support for freedom. The owner of Stella Luna Gelato Cafe, Tammy Giuliani, no relation to Rudy, is here with us now. All right, Tammy, what exactly is going on up there with your shop?
Well, I should preface by saying that I have a tendency to think with my heart and not with my head. And does that get me?
This girl is totally self-flagellating. You're being the victim of aggression and threats of vandalism and essentially leftist intimidation and cancel culture. And you're saying that you somehow thought something wrong here? Because when you say I'm thinking with my heart, not with my head, it means I've not been intelligent enough there. So it means that you say you made an error. But what's the error? You gave to a cause that you believed was good, the cause of freedom, medical freedom. Now you're being intimidated and your reaction is, I was wrong. Sprocket says it's Stockholm syndrome. Yes, it is. She's on the path of self-flagellation and of excusing herself.
Me in trouble a lot, and would I change that about myself? Not in a million years.
Well, okay, but if you wouldn't change that, then it's a decision of the head, not a decision of the heart. What you're saying is you've thought it through, and you've decided that it's a legitimate thing to be supporting liberty. Don't give your opponent the idea that perhaps their harassment of you is legitimate. Don't tell them, oh, you know what, I've been stupid there. No, you've done something legitimate.
I heard about a group of people that were willing to drive all the way across the country in below 30 weather to gather peacefully in front of Parliament and to stand up for their beliefs and to say, you know, maybe this whole mandating the existence out of everyone needs to be revisited. My heart said no, and I don't think anyone, and I certainly don't think anyone could have imagined that it would have transformed into something like we're witnessing today.
Yeah, we're witnessing complete chaos.
And what is that? What has it transformed in? Because all I see are truckers being oppressed by special laws enacted for the purpose of oppressing them. So, yes, Fox is so cocked. It's amazing. This whole show is about... It's like, oh, I couldn't have known that such things would happen. What are you talking about? You've funded a peaceful trucker convoy. You got a peaceful trucker convoy. The fact that they're getting hit by batons from the police, that's not their fault. It's the police that's the problem. It's Justin Trudeau that's the problem. Mama JF says she got a gay rave. Mama JF has been watching Owen Benjamin and he likes to remind that this whole trucker convoy thing is a whole... It's a psyop that was set up for this one gay trucker from British Columbia to drive to Ottawa and set up a gay rave there. It's an interesting theory.
Chaos, and I don't know how to describe it, but you probably know better than I do since you're up there. What has been the blowback for you and your shop, and what kind of threats and harassment have you faced after that donation was made public?
Well, you need to understand that Stella Luna is our livelihood, and my husband and our children and son-in-law all work for the business. It's how we pay our rent. It's how we keep our lights on. It's how we eat. We feel very passionately about eating. And
that makes
everyone has pushed really hard over.
We feel passionately about eating. She's trying to make the case that it's okay for her to exist.
The past 2 years trying to keep
it's okay to be eating.
Keep this business alive. So we have this passion, and it just keeps going on and on. So I reached into my personal pocket and I pulled out $250 of my personal money, and I gave a donation to fill a gas tank of someone so they didn't have to sleep in minus 30 in the cold that night. And I think that decision speaks to my humanity and not to political beliefs.
Oh my God. She spends so much time apologizing. So you gave $250 to the trucker convoy, but back then you didn't know it was going to be for the fuel. And it's a political protest, lady. Get out of here. Don't be a funder for these things if you don't have an idea of what is the political goal here. The political goal is the end of medical oppression, the end of the use by the state of baits and traps to force people to get down the path of the vaccine, which have nothing to do with public health and nothing to do with keeping the virus from entering Canada, because the virus is going to enter Canada, whether the truckers are vaccinated or not. I really don't like this woman, and I really don't like the direction that Fox News is taking. Bunch of cucks. Fuck them. Fractal Man says, in fairness, she's in a tough spot. It is ridiculous that this sort of intimidation is allowed. You know what? I'm tired of this. The thing is, as long as these cucks do not understand that going forward, cancel culture will keep dominating. You know what will not stop cancel culture? Yapping about it. And apologizing. This is actually giving cancel culture success, because she could have been standing for her political beliefs there. She could have been on Fox News saying, hey, it's horrible that there are mandates at all. But that's a success of cancel culture. It takes what could have been and it diminishes it. It makes you apologize for who you are. It makes you apologize for your donation. Makes you say, oh, you know, I didn't know it would turn that way. Well, it didn't turn that way. It didn't turn in any way. It just turned in the exact same way, the exact way it was described as the peaceful protest that it was originally meant to be. The only way out of cancel culture is to, as someone was phrasing it on Gab, it's as simple as this. We're not going to get out of troubles until people accept that political advancement will require you to be able to be called racist. Period. The world will not go forward in our direction ever until every single people accepts that the evil, the people that are against us will call us evil racists no matter what we do, no matter who we give to. If you can't pass this psychological state of saying, you know what, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000 people will call me racist and I'm still going to stand for my beliefs. If you can't go above this, you're going to lose. The game has been set against you. Sprocket says, Jeff, did you ever think about making one show per week for the European time zone, calling it JFG Tonight, the Euro Hour? Yes, I could consider this. It depends. Justette says, Thomas Howard, I fear for JF/Mama JF's safety, living under the control of one of the world's most oppressive regimes. He would be better off fleeing to the cold north of Siberia. What about the rest of Canadians living in high populated cities? Well, you shouldn't be too worried for me. We are totally safe. And most importantly, I don't get involved in anything physical. And I don't get involved in activism. I don't go carry some cardboards, you know, because I think that what we do here every night is more important. And I've decided to dedicate my life to this. As such, I'm basically untouchable. I'm located in a in a land. And of all the oppressions of liberty we've seen, now, the bank stuff might start to be worrying, but it's not worrying for someone like me, because you're never going to link my streams of money to a donation to anything that could become physical. Now, some people would say, well, JF, isn't that a withdrawn lifestyle? Aren't you folding to the regime? Not so much, because I'm an ideological guy. It's my job. I'm an intellectual. That's all I do. And so I very often forego opportunities such as, for example, giving $20 to the Freedom Convoy campaign. I didn't do it. And that keeps me out of trouble. And anyways, you know, it's not like my $20 would make a difference. It's like the job of everyone else to be doing these things and taking these risks. I take plenty of risks, and I took plenty of cost in my life to be standing for dissident IDs. But yeah, because I only stand for IDs, it's going to take a lot of time before the regime gets to me. And when they do, I'm going to have to swim or push a boat to Russia. Dead Star says, I originally found JF through Styx years ago. I think a Styx to JF pipeline needs to be developed. Maybe I should invite Styx. I know that he likes alternative media and the fact that I do a full career on Odyssey. Perhaps he would want to encourage me since I'm pushing for a full Odyssey transfer. U.S. House of Representatives to introduce bill offering asylum to Canadian truckers. I'm not super enthusiastic about this because it's not going to happen. Anyways, the Democrats have the majority in the House, so it's mostly a display. It's a moral display. Absolutely ridiculous. Navy Federal Credit Union moves forward with their COVID-19 vaccine mandates and masking policies, increases insurance premiums for unvaccinated. This is something I described in the Revolutionary Phenotype. Eventually, they will tell you that you need to pay 5 times more money for your health insurance if you don't take the genetic modifications. It's terrible that this is happening, and we've let it, we live in such a contradictory society because there's all these charter of rights and constitutional things that say you have the right to not be discriminated against. And yet, for example, we have discriminated against male forever in the car insurance business, where males are being charged more. Why they are being charged more? Because presumably they create more accidents. But then you are discriminating. Like, I'm not the man who creates more accidents. Some other guys are. So you're telling me that I have to pay more for my car insurance because I'm a man. And because you're judging me as a man, and you say these other men are having accidents with their car, therefore you would have an accident with your car. That's discrimination. We've let this happen forever. And as a result, we have these charter of rights that are telling us we have guarantees of protection, but these protections don't actually exist. They only exist when it's to defend the other side, the minority, the female, the potential victim, the one who's most successful at being perceived as a victim. And now we will soon enter the moment where you have to consume all these medical products against your will if you even want to have a health insurance premium that is decent. And it's going to get worse and worse. It's going to get to the point where you won't be able to get health insurance at all if you're unvaccinated or if you don't accept eventually their genetic modifications. And on top of it, you have the state saying, you know, with the whole Obama law and stuff. I mean, I don't know if they're still doing this in the US, but they were forcing people to get health insurance. They were saying you will pay a fine if you don't have an health insurance. And now you're going to have the health insurance company saying, not only will the government give you a fine if you don't have health insurance, but you have to pay more because you're unvaccinated. It's these systems of extortion that are developing in our society. We have to have a mechanism that just abolishes all of this. We have to have a court system that's able to see through and say, no, we're not going to let any of this exist. Ottawa mayor announces cars seized during freedom protest should be sold to cover costs incurred by the city. They're going to take the property of the protesters to pay for the cost, so-called cost. Have they done this to Black Lives Matter protesters? Have they done this to student protesters and Marxist protesters that have been demonstrating in Canada for decades now? No. They only do it when it's the middle-class white male protesting. It makes sense in the end because he's the only one who has property to be seized anyway. Sprocket says, I read they have to disclose when any media content is paid for, like an ad. Would playing such content without disclosing it was paid for break the NAP? Well, you can have a conception of the non-aggression principle under which deceptive communication is a violation of the NAP. Because when you think about what an ad is, it's essentially something that's aimed at getting you to make a decision. So if I say, hey, Sprocket, you send me $5 and I'll give you a pot of my bath water as, you know, Sexy Delphin was doing. If I was to do this and then I send you a pot of water, but it's not my actual bath water, it's just toilet water that I've potted without bathing in it, then I'm deceiving you. And that's just as bad as having taken your money without asking you for consent. It's just as bad as theft, because you paid for JF bathwater and all you got was this toilet water without the genuine authentic aspect of it. So you can make an argument that any sort of deceptive advertising is a violation of the NAP, because it ends up having you make a decision that you wouldn't have made otherwise. Now, it's an arbitrary question where you put the line. Like, of course, an ad never tells you everything. So what does the ad have to tell you? Well, I think it makes sense for a legal system to say the ad should tell you who's speaking, shouldn't hide who's speaking. So if it's a message from a company, I would like to see the company logo. If it's a message that's been paid for by a backdoor by some interested agent, I want to have the identity of this interested agent. And the ad shouldn't lie about the product. So I think those are legitimate things to say about the violations of the NAP that could be considered even in a libertarian society. Sprocket says, is not explicitly disclosing a content was paid for deception? Well, it can be deception if you can argue that, you know, the way we present stuff leads you to a legitimate belief. When you watch JF's show, you don't expect to be fed propaganda paid for by the Russian government in Bitcoin and ruble donations. You don't have the impression when you come here that you're listening to an official voice that is a puppet of Putin. And that's because I display myself, I tell you my story, I say JFG tonight, American flag, Quebecois flag, I'm a Quebecois guy, I'm giving you my thoughts. And you could argue that if Putin was sending me bitcoins in the back and saying, JF, I need to invade Ukraine right now, you have to convince your audience that it's a good thing. I think we could argue that there's something deceptive, even if I've not stated that I'm not a Putin puppet. Will you be on Truth Social? That was our question tonight. Two people have voted no, one person has said yes. Okay, well, I'll be on Truth Social. rubble equals ruble. It's pronounced ruble. Okay, well, ruble. Putin has sent me rubles. No, he didn't. He didn't. What else do we have on the news before we conclude the show? Outraged parents demand answers after non-binary male counselor were allowed to sleep in fifth grade girls' cabins at school-sponsored science camp. And so now you have these counselors, adult counselors, they're sleeping with young girls because they identify as girls. They don't even have to be trans anymore. They just have to say, oh, you know, I'm non-binary. Maybe tonight it would be great if I would sleep with the girls. Nature Respecter says, JF, what are your thoughts on sun/tanning beds causing skin cancer? Is it really something to worry about? My hunch is probably not. I am totally against the tanning industry. I think it should be abolished. I think that the tanning beds should be recycled for their metal. I'm totally hostile to this industry for many reasons. Yes, I do think that it could cause skin cancer, or that it could cause some irritation that could cause skin cancer. Now, I've looked at the evidence, it's so-so. I will agree with you that if you were to tell me, Jeff, are you 100% sure that it causes skin cancer? I guess I could say I'm not 100% sure, but there's enough evidence to be worried. But in any case, why would you want to be tanned? The most beautiful thing is the skin of a female who's never been exposed to the sun. A female who's been kept in closed windows, lights, low light environment for decades. That is the most beautiful thing. And, you know, let's have a look. It's horrible. This is not beautiful. Those are examples of extra tanned women. This is not beautiful, bro. This is absolutely exaggerated. I mean, this girl, for example, is extra cute, okay? Extra sexy. But she would be even more if she wasn't tanned. This girl, way too 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 tanned. They're like at 138 in terms of bits. I would put them at 255. At 255, that's the kind of white I'm interested about. I'm going to sleep, guys. It was a long day. I had lots of problems on the road. But I'm glad I could make it and get this show going. New Nation says, how many political streamers do you think have not made it far enough into their schooling to write a single research paper? I recently learned many of them did not know how to gather/cite sources. Oh, it's amazing. I mean, I'm part of the old school. You know, I'm a guy who left an active and successful career in academia to do YouTubing. And now Odyssey. I'm not representative of what goes on in the intellectual sphere of YouTube anymore. I've never been. I've always been overqualified for the job. Most, most people who are streamers, even the intellectual streamers and even the political streamers, they don't have any sort of education, and they wouldn't survive in the educational environment. That's why they're on YouTube. Most people went on YouTube because they couldn't succeed at anything else. I went on YouTube because I was tired of the other way of living in academia. So the vast majority wouldn't be able to write a research paper, wouldn't be able to survive peer review. I've survived peer review many times. I got annoyed by it because I think at times it is stupidly pursuing a kind of rigor, but that is just making things hard for no reason. You know, there are some legitimate concerns about the rigor of a scientific work, but when you do peer review, they just make it hard for no reason. They're like, they're dangling the, maybe I will accept, if you do this. And that's ridiculous. But yeah, and in all my debate career, when you think about it, do you realize the degree of stupidity I've been faced with? These guys barely can, in the hour they speak with me, understand what I'm talking about. That's what people keep writing in the comments section. They're like, this guy didn't understand what JF was saying. Well, yes, it's because most people in this business have at least 20 IQ points lower than me. That's why. Much love. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.